Congratulations.
I'm Marianne. I'm a codependent. And my son, Jonathan, is celebrating 1 year.
I'm out of the hug every year.
All right. Thank you, Patrick. Now it is my privilege to introduce tonight's speaker, so please offer a warm Valley group welcome to Jonathan.
Hi, I'm Jonathan. I'm an alcoholic. First off, I'd like to welcome anybody that's new, and thank you, Bill, for asking me to do this. I only agreed to do this because I knew it would make me uncomfortable, and one thing I've learned this year in AA is that I grow when I do things that make me uncomfortable. So I am a grateful alcoholic. I never thought I'd say that, but I really am. And if you guys would have told me I'd be speaking at an AA meeting a couple years ago, I probably would have said very not nice things to you that I don't want to say because my mother is in the room. I grew up here in Visalia, and I didn't have any like childhood traumatic experiences that I could try to blame for my alcoholism or my drug abuse. And you know, you guys, I've been calm all day, not even worried about this, and I am nervous as hell right now. I've always felt different, you know, no matter who I was with, who I hung out with, and just like I'm not good enough, and it didn't matter, you know what I mean, who I was with. I could have 1,000 friends and still feel like I wasn't part of, you know, and that's hung with me my whole life, and until I came here to AA, and I found something that now I came to believe I've been looking for this whole time, that I looked for in the bottom of a lot of bottles and a lot of bags. So I took a wrong turn in my life somewhere, and I still can't figure that out, but I've been trying to all year, and these steps have helped me have many spiritual experiences this year. I grew up in a family that has a farming business, and so I always worked, and I was a very good worker, and that hung with me, and it kind of helped me out later on when I needed money to do to drink and do outside issues. Shit. Give me 1 second here. Alright, so I was told, right, I don't remember this, but apparently I had my first drink of alcohol at the Tulare Fair when I was a little over 2 years old. And I didn't know what my face looked like, but I was talking to my mom about it last night when I was at her house, and she told me I looked like I enjoyed it. And I'm sure I did, you know. I feel like I've been groomed for this program since I was a teenager, and I actually came to my first AA meeting when I was 14 after I'd been arrested twice in a week. And my Uncle Jonathan, who is an alcoholic from Tulare, brought me to it. And I believe I went to 2 that week, and that was the end of my AA for a while. And, you know, as I got through life, you know what I mean, I started experimenting with everything. I mean, I remember when we had family parties, if there was liquor on the counter, and I would try to sneak drinks. And I remember the first buzz I remember was I poured some of a liqueur that was on the counter in my soda, and I did that a few times that night, and I slept really good that night. My bed was warm and cozy, and I chased that feeling, you know, for the next 16, 17 years. And my sponsor and we were talking, and you know what I mean? Like, when we're really active, and you're an alcoholic of my type and an addict of my type, like, we don't have any days off. All we're doing is looking for that next drunk, that next high. I mean, personally, me, I really do have these things that the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous talks about as, you know, I have this allergy that it talks about. You know, when, as soon as something that enters my body that changes the way I feel, I have that phenomenon of craving that it talks about. And all I can think about is the next one, or how we can get more. And I will do anything to get more. I found that out later on when I hit my bottom this a year and a half ago. And you know, like, now that I look back on my life, I can really see I've had a problem for a lot of years. Like, I would do things, like, you know what I mean? I've totaled vehicles. I've misplaced vehicles. Like, I've come to walking on Mooney Boulevard at 4 in the morning when there's gardeners outside. You know what I mean? Like, not something you normally see on Mooney Boulevard. But apparently, yeah, there is somebody that takes care of the grass out there. And, you know what I mean? You think that would worry me, you know what I mean? And I went out the next night and I did the same exact shit. I ended up getting a DUI at 18. And, I remember that day, clear as day. I got off work early and, I was still living at home then. And I remember I had, like, I started drinking with some friends, and then soon I called, or I texted my mom. I was like, hey, I'm going to stay at Mark's house tonight, you know, and so I could have the whole night, you know, because I don't like the party to stop. Otherwise, you know, I just go home and sneak out anyway, you know what I mean? And, yeah, it had the makings of a perfect night. You know what I mean? I acquired some outside issues, and I was drinking, and my buddy Scott, which we used to drink and drive in his truck, he had got a DUI 2 weeks before me, so we just went ahead, and I was the designated drunk driver after that. And, yeah, I made it like about, I don't know, 2-3 weeks after that, and then I got my DUI, and of course, my buddy Mark needed a ride from Little Italy downtown in Visalia, and I'm drunk at a party that's over by where, like, Torrey County keeps their stuff off of 256. You said it. All right. And that's my friend Nick right there. He's going to count how many times I say you know what I mean tonight. Because apparently I do that, and people brought that to my attention. Anyways, I was at this party, and when I'm drunk, I'm fearless, and there's that FUCKIT radio station plays in my head, and you know what I mean? I was like, hey, I'll go get Mark, even though I'm drunk, so you know what I mean? And I'm going to go to downtown Visalia at, like, prime time cop hour when the bars are about to close. Because, you know, and I was successful in getting out of downtown, but I was about a mile away from the house I was going to, and I got pulled over. And I just remember Mark being like, Jonathan, you're going to get, well, actually, he called me Johnny, because that's like my evil twin, Johnny. And if you know Johnny, let's just say you don't want to know Johnny. And, yeah, he said, Johnny, you're going to get a DUI right now. And I just looked at him dead serious, and I was like, bro, I got this. And sure enough, when the cop got to my window, they didn't even, apparently, you know what I mean, we weren't thinking, and at the party, we were just throwing empty beer cans in the back of my truck. So when the cops looked up, you know, they seen beer cans already, and the fact that I tried to pass somebody on the shoulder of the road didn't help at all either. Anyways, I ended up, you know what I mean, I spent the night in jail that night, and that was probably one of the first times I experienced pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization, because I had to think about it, you know, as I sobered up, and that concrete floor in that drunk tank ain't kind, you know? Anyways, in the morning, you know what I mean, I figure, okay, I'm I'm just going to go to my buddy's house. I'm going to walk there and I'm going to get high, you know what I mean, and chill out. And I'll call my family that's going to be pissed because, you know, I have to, you know, I work and I have to drive a vehicle to work. I'll call them and just tell them the news, you know, the good news real quick and hang up. And then I'll just chill all day. That way by the time I get home tonight, they'll be, you know what I mean, already get everything out of their systems. Well, it didn't work out that way. You know what I mean? And you think this would have, like, stopped, you know what I mean, me too, or made me think about things, but it took me, you know what I mean, it took me years before I actually wanted to change the way I was living. Like, you know, it didn't bother me that, like, I had all these, like, drunken, like, I had a girlfriend that we would drink, you know what I mean, 100 proof every night. That was, like, the beginning of our relationship, and you can take a guess how that relationship went. And we'd fight, you know what I mean? We'd fight, and it would get semi-violent, like, you know what I mean? I never really put hands on her, but, like, you know what I mean? We'd try to push each other down and stuff, and then now when I look back at it, like, I just remember some of those things. Like, it was like a, it just wasn't a pretty scene, you know what I mean? And I wish I could have, someone would have recorded me so I could have seen it, but it didn't work out that way. And I actually did something, I actually did get a little bit more violent with it one time in a blackout. I remember, yeah, I have these events in my life and I remember them clear as day, like everything in the day. Like, I remember that day because we partied all night, did outside issues and partied all night. She had to go to work. So me and my friends, you know, I mean, she goes to work. We're out of money. So, you know, we go and steal some beer at 9 in the morning. And we played beer pong, you know what I mean, and had a good time and did beer, you know what I mean? It was a full-on, like, little party scene, and I remember she came after that, later on, early in the afternoon, and I was mad about something already, and it came out when I was drunk, you know? They say a drunk man's words are a sober man's thoughts. I actually got that in a fortune cookie on the way to an AA meeting once. That's not a lie. And I remember I locked the door all crazy, and I had another buddy in the car because he was sitting in the car, and we were probably smoking or something, but I was mad about something. And I, like, drove, you know, down Taylor Avenue, like, in a rage, and I pulled over, like, where Copeland's used to be, which is right next to Jack in the Box on Mooney Boulevard. Again, Mooney Boulevard. I proceeded to try to push her out of my car after I threw it in park. You know, I was pissed off, and I guess I would never touch a girl like that, but I guess I kind of grabbed her. I went around the side of the car, and I grabbed her neck, and I'm just screaming, you know what I mean, belligerent, and trying to get her out of the car. She called my parents, she didn't know what the hell to do. Thank God my friend Zach was there. God rest his soul. He's one of us, and he didn't make it here. And I actually went to his funeral after he committed suicide due to alcoholism and heroin addiction when I had 4 months of sobriety, and I didn't have to drink through that or use. So, anyways, he was there, and I just remember him, like, he hit me a couple of times and was like, "You're scaring her," you know what I mean? Here come my parents, you know, and my mom pushes me over, right, and my dad takes my ex-girlfriend home, you know, and she's crying, and then she went on to, like, tell a bunch of lies that she painted a different picture than really went on there, I had somebody there that was semi-sober, you know what I mean, that told me, like, no, dude, but the cops pulled in there right as my mom, like, shoved me over, like, you know what I mean? And was like, "No, just get in the car," you know, like, and that just had to be, like, the wildest, like, for the people in the drive-thru at Jack in the Box that are just waiting for their 99 cent tacos, you know what I mean? They got a full-on show that day, like, their food was worth it. I did not plan anything to say tonight, so I'm just kind of reliving everything as it comes out right now. Dude, and, like, that didn't even freak me out, you know? I just remember waking up. I still lived at home then, because I always said that I'd be the first one of my brothers to move out, but, you know what I mean, later on, it was free to live there, and that gave me a lot more of my money I earned to go out and do the things that I needed to do at that time, you know? Anyways, I remember waking up, and there's like these Advils next to my bed and a glass of water, and I'm just like, how'd I get here? I'm trying to figure that out right now, how I got right here, but I'm one of the lucky ones, and if you guys are in this room and you have a chance of recovery, I suggest when I was in treatment, I did a 28-day program. They told me that only two of us out of 20 or 22 were going to make it. And I took that very serious, you know, I just turned 27, and I really got nothing to show for the money I make all year, except for a car I'm paying for, you know what I mean, which all of my vehicles worked to pay for, I tend to wreck them in a blackout and total them, you know, when there's like a one payment away from that 4 years of paying for a vehicle, you know what I mean, and then I just totaled them, you know. I was just like, can't we just fix it so my car can be paid off? Anyways, you know, I came to AA when I got my DUI, and I only came to a few meetings, and I ended up forging the rest of the signatures on my card. And, you know, that was it for AA for me. I mean, I came to these meetings, and, you know, I was just waiting to get loaded after, waiting to drink after. And I don't really remember anything. And I went to most of the Alarm Club. I caught a resentment. At the Alarm Club at the noon meeting, right? I went there. This is right before I decided to forge the rest of the names on there. I went there because it was like the quickest meeting. I think it's like a 30-minute meeting, right? Is it 1 hour? It is 1 hour. Okay. It's been 10 years, so. The girl running it, there was more court cards in the basket that got passed around than people that was in the room. So she did not sign any of them, you know, and I'm just like, you know, I came all the way from, like, I work in Hanford. I was like, I came all the way over here to a meeting, and she's going to do this to me. Like, not today. And so I decided, you know what I mean? Screw this. I'm going to forge the rest of them. And this whole time, you know what I mean? Like, that was the second time I came to AA. And, you know, now I know nothing happens by accident. So obviously I'm in AA for a reason. Something greater than me wants me in that room. And I kept doing what I was doing, you know, and instead of like worrying, like, oh, you know, all these things have happened, and I just got a DUI, and you know what I mean? I'm doing thorough research in drug abuse and alcoholism. And I don't even like stop to think like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be doing this stuff. Like, for me, you know what I mean? I like everything under the sun that makes you feel different. And I like to mix it all together, you know what I mean? Like, I take everything at once. There's no like, hey, save these pills for tomorrow because they do this. It's like, no, I'm on this stuff, and these make me feel like this, and that makes me feel like that, so, you know, they got to be really good all together. And I'm a chemical gourmet, you know, I couldn't, you know what I mean? But this whole time, like, it's right under my nose, and you know what I mean? Maybe, you know what I mean? I was just blind to everything because I didn't want to stop and look at myself because I knew what I was doing deep down, maybe? Anyways, you know, I totaled my first truck. Then, real quick. The year I got my DUI, like, instead of worrying, like, oh, maybe I have a problem, because I like driving around drinking in the car, and I just got a DUI, I saw that as, I don't have to drive this year, so I can get as messed up as I want. And that was like a normal thing for me, you know what I mean? The whole year I was 18, because I got my DUI 2 weeks after I turned 18. And I actually have a friend that got his 2 weeks before, and he didn't get no fines or nothing. And I got nailed with everything that I could give you. And yeah, that was a normal thing for me at 18. Like, I still live at home, so I have like a time. My mom wants me home, but eventually I just start staying out later and later and later. Till it just kind of, you know what I mean? Like, and I have a really good mom, you know? She's the kind of lady, she doesn't want to go to sleep if she knows I'm still out there because she's worried. And, you know, some people, their parents don't care at all. And, you know, I'm very lucky I had someone that cared that much about me to lose sleep over it, you know? Even though I always did come home eventually. And, I used to just call them and be like, hey, who took me home last night? I can't find my wallet. You know, I'm known for losing my wallet. And I'll tell you guys a little something interesting. This year I've been sober. I have not lost my wallet once. Yeah, I'm always the guy. I was always the guy who doesn't have his ID right now because we got to go to the store that knows me. It's like, you know, I can buy there because they know me there. And, you know, I totaled another vehicle at 25. And that time, I had just recently started to try. I wanted to get off some of the things I was on, but I still wanted to do the other things, you know, like... It's not, my problem wasn't alcohol, it was just these two things. And I remember, like, I was like, I had my own place, you know what I mean? And like, all my, I have these really classy friends, and they, their occupations are, they're dealers and they're gang members. And they really care about me, you guys. Anyways, you know what I mean? They're always, you know, they come find me, regardless of where I'm at. And the thing with being so close with the people that help you stay thick is you don't really need the funds to do it, you know what I mean? Like, I got gold credit with the house, and it doesn't come in handy, you know what I mean, when you're as sick as I am. And so my solution, like, every time I try to get right was, hey, I go see my parents and tell them everything that's going on with me, and I'm like, hey, can I just stay here so I can clean up, you know what I mean, for like, you know, whatever, until I'm detoxed off this stuff. And they were real patient, you know what I mean? They didn't tell me, no, you need to quit drinking everything. So, like, you know what I mean? So, like, I'm at my parents trying to get off of some outside issues, but, like, every night I'm, like, inviting friends over because I want to drink and smoke pot in their backyard. And, because my solution at that time was, you know what I mean, I just need to hit this stuff really hard to make me forget about this stuff. And I'll tell you firsthand, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Anything I put in my body that changes the way I feel, it's just going to, my judgment goes out the window, which I don't really have that great a judgment anyway. And taking things doesn't really help anything, you know? And, all right. I just realized, I'm like, maybe I am talking too long. So this is my first time speaking like this for this long and at a podium with a microphone. And, careful with my ego. We don't want to let that thing out. It'll piss everywhere. Anyways, so I got to go through years of this, like just trying to get, okay, maybe I'll just cut this out too, and this out too. And then finally, you know what I mean? I'm back at my place, and I've been doing kind of good, but I'm just like, you know, drinking a little bit, smoking pot here and there, you know, doing really good. You know, I had enough one day, and, you know, I make that call to my buddy, and he says, yeah, come over, I got it. So I hop in my car, and I didn't even make it out of the fucking parking lot. Shit. I didn't even make it out of the parking lot. I dropped a cigarette, and apparently the cigarette was really good because I had to, while I was driving, I had to go down, you know, beneath my seat to grab it. And I totaled my second vehicle that's about $1,000 from paying off. It's like all I have to show for the money I make all year long. And I totaled that vehicle, you know, and I didn't get a DUI, you know. These times I wrecked vehicles in a blackout because I was drinking and doing outside issues all night. Like, I had no consequence, only except I had to get another vehicle. And actually, the second time I came to AA on my own, and I think deep down, part of the reason was I was trying to get right, and part of the reason was to get people off my butt, you know. And I remember I came, my home group now is the men's meeting at the PPAV hall every Monday. And it's a really good meeting, and I kind of made up my home group then. And I remember I went for like about a month, and one day I was just dead set. This thing between my ears, when it makes up its mind, it's really hard to stuff the thoughts it's having. You know, I have to catch them before they can manifest into something bigger than, you know what I mean, than they should be. And I totally made up my mind. You know, I had asked the guy to be my sponsor, and he didn't really. He gave me like a backhanded no, you know, and I was like, all right. And I came to a couple meetings after that, and then one day, you know what I mean, I had my mind made up. But for some reason, I came to the meeting that day, and I didn't hear a damn word that was said in that hour and a half. All I was thinking about was what I was going to do after. You know, my mind was just like, you know, drugs. Alcohol, drugs, alcohol. You know what'll fix the way you're feeling. Like in the big book, it talks about us. You know, like when we just stop drinking and we're not working a program or anything, we get irritable, restless, and discontent. And that's what happens to me. That's a kind of a sweet way to say it. Because it's just extreme. I don't feel comfortable in my skin. You know what I mean? You take away the things that are giving me my relief, because I'm, you know what I mean, every day is a sentence to another day of life. When you take those things away from me, I get really, you know what I mean, you do not want to just even look at me wrong. I'm not going to be a nice person. And, you know, I ended up going out, you know what I mean, I started another run. And sure enough, I started doing some really god-awful things with my friends. And you know what I mean? For the most part, they treat me like family, but they really helped me. They enabled me to stay sick. And if I didn't work for family, I would have been on the street, homeless, not have a place to live a long time ago, because I wouldn't have been able to hold a damn job. You know what I mean? And that's the thing with alcohol. I don't know what's going to happen. And the insanity in it for me is I know it ain't going to be pretty, and I know that I'm not going to do anything that I said I was going to do. I can't keep a commitment because, you know what I mean, something more important might come up, like, you know what I mean, a bag or more alcohol. And, you know, that's what, let me go back real quick. So I spent about 2 years on my next run, and then I'm at like the bottom of all bottoms. Like, I tried to do it again, like get clean with no program, and sober with no program. I made it 3 months, and the alcohol brain in me told me, it's not the alcohol, it's the other stuff. Have a beer. And I remember, you know, it was a family gathering, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to have one beer, just one. It's always just one. And you know what I mean? It was just one that night, but I had another one the next day. You know what I mean? And it slowly escalated, and I managed to just drink that year, but my drinking progressed, and it progressed, you know what I mean? Because it's always there waiting for me, you know what I mean? I could not be drinking for 10 years, and when I pick up, it's going to be just as bad or worse. And I'm gonna bet on worse from my experience. Like, I don't have to, I know already what's going to happen. You know what I mean? That's why I kind of laugh today when my brain's trying to trick me. Like, hey, you can do this, you can do that. Because, I mean, it's a proven fact. When I run my life my way and I try to play God, it does not work out. And the only thing I got to look forward to is jails, institution, or death. You know what I mean? And I've cheated death I don't know how many times, you know? And you think it would make me, like, check myself, and it doesn't. And then I took part, you know what I mean? So after that year, I ended up diving back into everything. And it was 5 months of everything, not just the alcohol. Everything, every day. I didn't sleep. I ate maybe twice a week. And when I did, it was like $10 worth of fried gas station food, which you can get a lot of food for $10 at the gas station. You know what I mean? Like binge eating, and then back to doing what I was doing. And I got desperate. And some of the things I do with my friends, they pushed me over the edge because, you know, I couldn't live with myself after doing them. And I never thought I would do these things, but, you know, money's a hell of a drug, too. And the fact that I wanted to die and I prayed for death every day in the end did not help either. You know what I mean? I was down for anything, whenever. I didn't care how dangerous it was. And, you know, my hygiene has gone out the window. You know what I mean? I show up to work sometimes. When I do, I'm drinking and using at work. And I'm broke, but you know what I mean? I'm doing illegal things to keep me afloat and keep you know, my alcoholism going and feeding my addictions. I mean, I got almost evicted twice in a month for unnormal foot traffic, but somehow unnormal foot traffic. I did say that. And somehow I still talk to my landlord, you know what I mean, into, you know, I'm just partying, blah, blah. I'll knock it off. And, you know, she bought it, and I, you know what I mean, I tried to keep everything under wraps after that. But I ended up praying to God one morning, you know what I mean? I was like, God, please, I can't do this anymore. And I'll do whatever. Just take it away. And I believe that was when I surrendered. I surrendered. And after that, shortly after saying that prayer, my uncle that took me to my first AA meeting was knocking on my door. Like, that's a God shot right there for me. And when he got to talk to me, he showed up. Like, it was a God thing. God had him there right at the right time. Because I don't know how long I would have had that little window where someone could get some words into my head that I would listen to. And you know what I mean? I'm grateful for that. You know, it saved my life. And I decided to, I found a place that my insurance would take. And I went to a treatment facility up north. And they told me up there, you know, the only 2 weeks would make it. And they're like, they drilled everything that you hear in these rooms into me. Get a sponsor. Work the 12 steps. Help others. And then some days in there, they're like, you guys need to be selfish this year. Worry about you. And then they turn around right after I go, help others. And I'm just like, what do you want me to do? Yeah, it's confusing. Then you actually come to Wednesday AA and they're saying, you know, first things first, and you gotta change one thing, that's everything. You know what I mean? I'm just like, what are they trying to tell me? You know? But you know what? I understand what these things mean today. I got on the phone in that treatment facility up north. I called someone I know in the program, and I got the guy that I asked him, hey, do you have this guy Rick's number? I met him when I was in AA 2 years ago when I came. I call him up and I'm like, hey, will you sponsor me? I'm in treatment right now. I'll be back. And, you know, I mean, in my head, I'm like, oh, he's got to remember me. You know, I came for 4 weeks 2 years ago. But he said yes. He said yes, you know? And, I'm grateful he did, you know, and he told me, he's all, but you're going to come to my house once a week when you get back, and we're going to read that book, and we're going to work the 12 steps. And that's what I've been doing. You know, I came back, and, I mean, I do service work in Alcoholics Anonymous. Service work is really good if you got things that just constantly bug you, like things from your past. I mean, it helps you get out of yourself, you know? And it makes me happy today. You know what I mean? I never would have thought doing service work in Alcoholics Anonymous would make me feel good. And it comes out of left field, and I feel good. You know, something as simple as putting up chairs, like, you know what I mean? That kind of, in these rooms, like, something as simple as making coffee for a group of strangers can change your life. You know what I mean? And you wouldn't think that, but it really does. You know what I mean? It helps you get connected in the program when you do service work, when you stick your hand out to greet a newcomer. You know what I mean? Because the truth is, I was a newcomer too. You know what I mean? And those people that shook my hand in the beginning and told me to keep coming back, that made an impact on my life. You know what I mean? What is that, like five? when I started, you know what I mean, like, after I started doing the steps, like, one, you know what I mean, I knew I was powerless over alcohol, and that never slowed me down. It was until I really could admit to myself that my life was unmanageable, that I could, you know what I mean, get desperate enough to want to try this thing. And then, like, you know what I mean, step two came to believe in power, power greater than myself can restore us to sanity. I'm proud to say, you know what I mean, today, after doing this deal, I can think again, you know what I mean? I try not to think too much because I can get myself into trouble really quick, but I try to think with this thing here, you know? Because the thing between my ears will kill me. And it still tries to mess with me, you know? The obsession's been lifted. I don't think about drinking 24/7. But when I walk in a liquor store, you know my eyes notice all those bottles behind the counter. And all I want is some cigarettes, you know? But my eyes see it, you know what I mean? And then I know when you're spiritually fit, you notice these things, you know what I mean? You're able, like I said, you're able to catch that thought that doesn't belong in your head anyway. It's going to kill you. You're able to catch it before it turns into something else. And when I did step three, I turned my will and my life over to God, so much changed for me. And, like, I had this, like, you know, I was amazed before I was even halfway through. Like, the promises said you'll be amazed at halfway. Already I have this trust in a power greater than myself. You know what I mean? Because there's obviously something out there. Or I'd be in jail right now, or I'd be dead. And you know what I mean? And step four, that was huge for me. You know what I mean? That's how we clean all this garbage out of our heads that we've been carrying around for years. We're hanging on to things from the past that they're in the past. You know what I mean? It's gone and it's done. And six and seven, I mean, when I did that, I mean, actually five, on step five, you know what I mean, like, that really helped me, you know what I mean, admitting these things that I just had to dig through my brain, you know what I mean, not like they were hard to find because they'd been in there for a while, and I shared them, you know what I mean, with another human being, and with, you know what I mean, my higher power, I mean, every one of these steps is important. You can't just do some of them. You got to do them all, and they're numbered for a reason. Six and seven, I mean, picking out your character defects, who the hell wants to look at their character defects, right? But I want to, you know what I mean? I'm doing this thing, and like, what do I got to lose? I've tried it my way for years, and it just gets me into trouble and near-death experiences, and I'm not going to be so lucky one of these days. But I mean, I'm doing my steps, and now I'm working the traditions, you know? I'm trying to be as thorough as possible, because if I go through this thing the right way the first time, I don't have to worry so much about being, you know, that percentage that ends up going back out to test the waters for us. And I heard someone say that in the room, they're like, hey, well, thanks for going out for us. You know what I mean? Someone comes in and says they went back out, and then you know you know, it's still not good out there. I thought it was kind of rude when the guy said that to the guy, but I got something out of it, you know, so we help somebody. And that's what, like she said in the beginning, that's the, you know, that's the biggest principle here, is one alcoholic sharing with another. Close. I didn't think I could talk this long, you guys. I'm Jonathan, I'm an alcoholic.